Coming up on Encouragement Live, are you a leader? And how are you gifted? Bill Hendricks of the Hendricks Center at Dallas Seminary helps us put these two important issues together. We'll talk about it on Encouragement Live. Stay with us.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. We're talking about leadership tonight, and the best source of information on leadership is the Bible. That's why I'm happy to announce our ongoing partnership with Dallas Theological Seminary. And joining me to talk about this tonight is Bill Hendricks. Bill is the executive director for the Center for Christian Leadership at the Hendricks Center, a leadership development initiative at Dallas Seminary. And in addition, he's the co-founder and president of the Global Center for Giftedness. He's authored a number of books. I think his first book was Your Work Matters to God. Bill, I think you and I did an interview on that maybe 50 years ago or so.
Well, I don't know if it's 50 years ago, Don, but it's probably more like 35 or 40. But
we've been friends
a long time. It's great to be with you and your audience.
And great to have you back program again.
Thank you, yes.
Just a real joy and excited for this 100th year at Dallas Seminary. Pretty amazing. And you have a generational legacy at the seminary. Your dad,
yep.
Prof. Howard Hendricks, fondly known as Prof. to all of us who were students there, had an incredible impact on generations of Christian leaders and students at the seminary.
Yeah, Dad taught there for 60 years, if you can believe it.
That's amazing. And the impact on so many individual students, I mean, just one after another.
I think they added it up during his time, 10,000 students under his courses.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Yeah, I had the privilege of being there in the 70s, and then my wife was there and had a course or two under your dad, and my son-in-law, Tom Justice, who is down in Austin.
Sure.
And so, you know, our families had connections there, and of course, we have a family operation tonight. My daughter, Donna, is here, and grandson, Chris, his wife, Cora, great-grandson, Braylon, and so we're loaded with family here
tonight.
Well,
it's good to be part of the family, then.
It is. And you are indeed, Bill, no question about it. Now, if you will, talk a little bit about your own personal journey, both as a student, as related to the seminary, and also now your leadership role at the Hendricks Center.
Well, my relationship with Dallas Seminary actually goes back even before I was a student. Because Dad went to work there in 1952, I was born in 54. So I came into this world. I've been going to Dallas Seminary since 9 months before I was born. And I like to say that I've been alive for two-thirds of the seminary's existence. This is our 100th anniversary celebration this year, and it's been great to be part of it. So after college and another master's degree, because Dad worked at the seminary, I was able to attend tuition-free in those days. And I thought, well, this is great. If you're going to get a free master's degree, why not?
Yeah. And what a joy that was, I'm sure. What year did you get your master's finished?
Let's say I graduated in 82.
82, yeah. That was 74. So my gray hairs show that I'm a little bit ahead of you there. But now you co-founded and you lead the Global Center for Giftedness.
Yes.
Tell us about that initiative.
Well, for the last 25, going on 30 years, I've had a consulting practice that I've been at called the Giftedness Center, where I help individuals think through their life and career directions based on how God has designed them.
Yeah.
And we have a very powerful process for helping them discover that.
Want to explore that further?
Yeah.
Bill Hendricks is with us tonight with Dallas Theological Seminary, the Hendricks Center for Christian Leadership. If you have a question about leadership and giftedness, we welcome your calls, 855-586-LIFE, 855-586-LIFE.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out. Love well.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu. Crossflix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses, such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
Crossflix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
Crossflix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
Good to have you with us on Encouragement Live, my friend. Bill Hendricks is back with me tonight. Bill is the head of the Christian Leadership, Executive Director for Christian Leadership, get that title right, of the Hendricks Center for Christian Leadership. They're the Leadership Development Initiative at Dallas Theological Seminary. Great to have them partnering with us tonight. And Bill is second generation with the seminary. His dad, Prof. Hendricks, had such an impact on so many of us. Bill, tonight you suggested we explore two very important subjects. One is leadership. The other is giftedness. So maybe the thing we should do, and I'm sure this is what you would do in your classes, back up and nail down some definitions, maybe starting with leadership.
Well, the best definition of a leader that I've ever heard is also the simplest. A leader is somebody that people follow.
Yeah.
You know, you can have the title president, CEO, captain, whatever. If nobody's following you, you're not leading anybody anywhere. Yeah. And by contrast, you may not have a title, but if you've got a parade of people lined up behind you, by definition, you're leading people.
I've heard it said that if you're one step ahead of people following you, you're a leader.
There you go.
If you're 10 steps ahead, you may be a martyr. I've heard that before. But again, there are people who have leadership positions, as you said, president, CEO, senior pastor, lead pastor, whatever. People are president of companies, corporations, political figures. But again, there are people who do leading. And the bottom line is, if you don't have a follower, you don't have a leader.
There you go.
One of my favorite books in Scripture is Nehemiah.
Right.
Probably one of the great textbooks in Scripture on leadership. Talk about what we can learn from Nehemiah.
Boy, we could do a whole program on that, Don. I will highlight, though, what to me is maybe the most profound thing about it. You know, Nehemiah ended up in a position of leadership, but he didn't start there.
Yeah.
We need to remember he was what is translated a cupbearer, which it's the same word for butler. You remember in the story of Joseph,
yes.
He's in prison,
mm-hmm.
and there's a butler and a baker.
Yeah. One of them lost his life, the other one went back to work.
Exactly. Well, that's the same position Nehemiah had, only for a king in Babylon.
So he, as I understand it, Bill, was the guy who tasted whatever the king would drink or eat first to make sure it wasn't poison.
Exactly. Nor was he looking to become a leader.
Hmm.
His whole story begins when he hears some really distressing news about the remnants and the refugees from the capture of Israel and Jerusalem. And the walls are down and the people are in great distress. And his response to that was not to forge a strategy or put together a team.
Yeah.
His response was simply to pray. And then he waited to see what God would do. And he waited 3 months. And then the third month, God gave him an opportunity to speak with his boss about the situation in Jerusalem. And when that opportunity came,
he seized it.
He seized it, but before he seized it, he instantly shot up a quick prayer to the Lord before he opened his mouth.
And so, Bill, that's one of my favorite things in the book. Yeah.
First big lesson is that Nehemiah is that leaders pray.
Yeah. He prayed to the God. And chapter 1 has an amazing prayer of confession and
there
petition. We're talking leadership tonight and connecting it with giftedness. 855-586-5433. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's sat7usa.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live. Don Hawkins, and with me tonight, Bill Hendricks of Dallas Theological Seminary and the Center for Christian Leadership, the Hendricks Center, bearing the name of Bill's dad, Prof. Howard Hendricks. And we've talked about Nehemiah as one of the great examples of leadership. Maybe you're in a leadership role tonight and you're having a difficult time. Maybe some of the followers are not following as well as you'd like, and maybe you'd like a little encouragement, a little help about that. Give us a call. The number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. And a specific challenge you're facing, question about leadership. And Bill, let's shift gears now and go to the topic of giftedness. Mm-hmm. Now, you've suggested there are really two dimensions of this: natural gifts, natural abilities, and spiritual gifts. Help us put this all together.
Well, the simplest way to put it is, in my view, those really dovetail and actually turn out to be more or less the same thing.
Hmm.
Now, with the exception of the gifts that we call it's a technical term in the New Testament, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are the sign gifts, if you will,
right.
Healing, miracles, that sort of thing.
Sure.
But it turns out that giftedness anything we have and anything we are has been given us by God.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. By definition. And so any gift we have is from God. And the way I would describe giftedness or define it is it's a combination of motivation and ability. You got to have both. You can be motivated to do something but not have the ability. You can have the ability to do something but not be motivated to use it. But when you put those together, you got something. And what we discover is that when people use their giftedness, they use this behavior that God has given them as strength and endowment and ability that they're motivated to use. And when they use that, they tend to have really productive outcomes.
You know, people struggle with the idea of finding or discovering their
right.
gifts, and tons of people have written books on five ways,
right.
three ways,
yeah.
seven ways to find your spiritual gifts. I'd love to hear your perspective on that, especially with the combination that you have of seeing spiritual and natural abilities really flowing in the same stream, so to speak.
Well, you know, the most common way, and it's really the way that's been done for thousands of years, is that people get feedback from other people.
Yeah.
Say, boy, Don, you got a real gift at, you know, being on the radio. Which you do.
I do have a face for radio.
Yes. But, you know, a lot of times people hear that and think, oh, you're just complimenting me. You're just trying to be nice.
Right.
And they have a hard time accepting it. The most powerful way is to actually look at your own life story.
Yeah.
At times when you were using your giftedness. And the way we know what those times were is that you were doing an activity that you enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
And the way to get there is to come up with a list of activities you've enjoyed doing and get a partner and tell stories to those partners, to that partner, about some of those stories.
Yeah.
And then with the partner, sort of go back and look at each story. What were the key words that I used in terms of the abilities that I used, the things that I worked with and through, the circumstances I was under, the roles I played?
Yeah.
You will start to see dots connect among those stories. They form a pattern of behavior that you keep coming back to again and again.
And I would think things like teaching, for example, obviously, if you have that ability to communicate, preaching would fit into that category as well.
Could be working with your hands. Could be working with the mechanical things.
Yeah.
Could be creativity of some sort. So there's maybe, all kinds of possibilities.
Yeah, using computers. Boy, there's a huge field there today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being able to work the numbers on and equations and stuff.
I think about 1 Corinthians 12, Bill.
Well, that's it.
And all of the different, you know, it talks about the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear, and the fact that everything is important. And in our physical bodies, you know, nobody wants to lose a big toe.
Exactly.
I have a friend Kathy and I spent some time with the other day. And he's had diabetes, and he's lost a couple of toes. And you know, he's had to deal with some stuff with that. And so everybody in the body, whether you're standing in front of a crowd of thousands preaching, or whether you're doing some behind-the-scenes work on a computer or crunching numbers for a budget, it still takes the God-given ability to carry that out.
That's exactly right. And I would just point out that, you know, there's four lists of gifts in the New Testament.
Yeah.
None of them is identical. They all differ a little bit. Some are long, like 1 Corinthians 12. Some are real brief, like in 1 Peter. And to me, what that really says is that these gifts are suggestive. They're not exhaustive.
Yeah.
They give us categories of gifts. But there's probably myriad gifts beyond all the things that are mentioned there.
And when you think about our amazing and creative God and the different things in his creation, to think about, you know, trying to limit God to 19 or 20 gifts, I think of the passage in 1 Peter 4. It talks about speaking and serving.
Right.
And maybe that's two broad categories.
They're very broad.
That are very, very important nonetheless to understand.
Yeah. So, in order to figure out the gift, you've got to have some evidence in your own life that there really is something there that you keep coming back to and you do well, and others can see that as well.
Now, let's tie this into giftedness again. How does the giftedness of the leader impact that individual's leadership role and even his leadership style?
Yeah, well, let's go back to that simple definition I gave earlier, that a leader is somebody that people follow. The question is, what causes them to follow?
Hmm.
And when you look at that, you discover that there's all kinds of different ways that that can happen. The person might come up with a plan, and everybody says, well, that's a great plan, let's follow that. They might give a big, stirring Winston Churchill speech that everybody says, wow, let's rally behind
let's
that guy.
Let's get with the program, yeah.
You may know the name Herb Kelleher, the founder of Southwest Airlines.
Yes, I do.
He led through the dynamic of his personality and his love for people. I have a friend who was his marketing VP for many years. He said he was not there but a week, and he knew that Herb Kelleher would fall on a grenade for him. He was that loyal.
Boy.
And it could be that the leader creates a certain kind of culture, and so people get behind those core values. And so then you ask, well, what causes the leader to do that? And it really comes out of his own core giftedness. Like I say, Herb had this ability with people that was just magnetic. Churchill had a resolve that was just like a bulldog.
Yeah.
And that came through in their sweet spot and caused people to follow behind them.
I think about Nehemiah and very much like Churchill in the sense that he had such an incredible vision. You know, he came to Jerusalem. He had heard from his brother how bad it was, had prayed, had gotten permission from the king and funding and all military protection, which even today we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
And everything going on over there. We'll encourage you all to do that. But he came back. And once he had explored the situation, then he called the people together and said, it's time for us to rise and build. Rallied the troops. Another thing leaders often encounter is opposition.
Yep.
Nehemiah probably had his share of that.
He did.
What does a leader need to do to deal with opposition?
Well, the first thing he's got or she's got to do is to distinguish between opposition and loyal opposition.
Yeah.
In other words, sometimes opposition, as Nehemiah had, is from your enemies that don't want your project to go forward. And with that, you've got to be smart. You've also got to be forceful, and you've got to follow through. But sometimes the opposition is from people inside the circle. They're on your team.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're disloyal. They're trying to help you, thanks to their gifts, see some things that you're not seeing.
Yeah, and we all have blind spots on occasion.
We all have blind spots.
Yeah.
And limitations.
Yeah. So we need to be willing to give them a listening ear.
You got to give them a listening ear and really think through, you know, this person may have a valid point. I need to roll that in.
You know, I think about Proverbs, or a couple of statements there. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, there's safety, security, all of those things. There's just a great deal in Proverbs about that. And, you know, Solomon, as smart as he was willing to concede that we need other people's input.
Absolutely. Which brings us to the point that, you know, everybody in a team has different kinds of giftedness. And one of the implications of giftedness for leader is the question, who else do I need on my team that brings things that I don't naturally, instinctively have? I don't have those gifts. What gifts do I need that I need to surround myself with?
And so one of the real issues in leadership is choosing the right people to be a part of your team.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that sometimes you pick a person because you like that person's personality, or maybe because they see a lot of things the same way you do. But maybe there's somebody out there whose gifts complement your gifts. You know, maybe you're the visionary leader. Maybe they're the detail person, the person that can pull all of the little odds and ends together. Pretty critical that you're willing to build a team that way.
Absolutely. But that takes a certain humility on the part of the leader to realize I'm not omnicompetent. I need to know what I do well, but I also need to know what I really am not gifted to the task to do.
Talking tonight about leadership and giftedness, and when we come back from our next break, we're going to explore the giftedness issue as it relates to the people the leader is leading. Maybe you are being led by somebody and you're struggling with a conflict between your giftedness and that person's giftedness. Maybe you'd like to know some ways that you might be able to perhaps have some influence on that leader. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. That's 855-586-LIFE. We do, as I mentioned, want to encourage you to be praying for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem. Bill, that's one of the great commands in the Psalms, that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And I would just, when we come back from our break, let's take a few moments to do just that.
That's great.
And we'll get back into our topic again. Information about Dallas Theological Seminary, we're grateful to have them as a part of our ministry team here at Encouragement Live. And you can learn much more about how they can equip you to teach truth and love well. The new motto of the seminary, still using the old motto, preach the word, Karuksan Tan Lagan. But check the website out, dts.edu. They have a variety of courses, including some that don't cost you money. You can sign up for those courses. And, Bill, some of those come through the Center for Christian Leadership, the Hendricks Center.
Yeah.
Again, that's dts.edu. edu. We'll be right back with more on Encouragement Live.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a deeply Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
We'd love to hear from you tonight. If you are a leader, maybe you need some encouragement, some help in terms of leadership, and maybe relative to your giftedness as it relates to your leadership role or that of someone else. Bill Hendricks is with me tonight. He is the executive director for Christian Leadership at the Hendricks Center for Christian Leadership at Dallas Seminary. Bill, I suggested before we went to the break that we take a moment to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We all know the circumstances over there, the forces aligned against Israel. Would you lead us in prayer in that regard?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Father, we lift up this situation in Israel and Gaza and just the whole Middle East. You're the Lord over all nations, and Lord, we would pray for peace. We pray that justice would be served and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we know many people are suffering, and we need this war to come to a conclusion.
Yes.
And for peace to break out. Lord, very, very difficult situation. This world definitely needs a Savior. And we look for the day when you come and you set all things right. In the interim, Lord, help all the leaders, governors, those who oversee this situation to come together and figure out a way that peace can come again. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen. We're talking giftedness and leadership tonight, and you know, maybe some people, Bill, are struggling with a distinction between giftedness and talent.
Yeah,
that's we hear a lot about that, don't we?
Yeah, well, I should have been clear earlier. I mean, talent really has to do with the ability part of the equation, and so it certainly factors in. But there's also this kind of confusion that, you know, giftedness is about the unusual, the spectacular, you know, the gifted athlete, the gifted musician. Actually, giftedness is universal. Everybody has some form of giftedness, and much of it doesn't look particularly spectacular at all. In fact, you'd almost miss it if you didn't know what you were looking at. But it always has an effect on the world and its people. And another term that often gets confused here is people say, well, is this like the gifted and talented programs in schools?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for those programs. But again, everybody has some form of giftedness that they have been given by God to contribute.
And maybe that's where we have to clarify that term giftedness. It's come to two different meanings in our society today, or maybe even three, because we talk about the exceptionally gifted child that has an IQ of 195, or we talk about just the ordinary gift like the gift of helps that we find in the New Testament, or we find, again, the fact that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So there's a lot of different dimensions to this term.
Yeah, and when I use the term giftedness or gift, I'm not using that just as a kind of a nice thing to say about somebody. Yeah. I literally believe that it is a gift in that it's an endowment from the Creator, and we call it a gift because He's given it. We also call it a gift because we're supposed to give it away. We're supposed to bless the world with it. We're supposed to contribute to this world and be generous in exercising that gift for the benefit of others.
You know, it's interesting, the parable of the talents in the New Testament, often misinterpreted because talents were pieces of money.
Right.
But nonetheless, the application of that, the five talents, the two talents, the one talent, you know, some people have multiple abilities, and they're responsible to use and cultivate and develop those talents. Some people have maybe just one ability, but they're still responsible to use that ability, correct?
Yes, and I believe that when we stand before our Lord, He's going to ask us, what did you do with those gifts that I gave you? And He wants us to invest our lives in using those gifts to His glory and for His purposes. You know, if you want to know more about giftedness, what it is, where it comes from, how we discover it, what it means for your work and your relationships, I've got a book that I wrote called The Person Called You. The Person Called You. And the subtitle is Why You're Here, Why You Matter, and What You Should Do With Your Life. And in the back of that book, there's a little simple exercise, the storytelling exercise I just described.
Right.
And it's all laid out there of how you come up with your list of giftedness stories and tell them to a partner, and then together with your partner look for that pattern. There's a template there of how to do that.
How would a person go about securing a copy of The Person Called You?
Well, I know here locally in Dallas, they could go to Logos Bookstore. They carry it.
Right.
But they could go on Amazon.com, and they'll find it.
Bill Hendricks, The Person Called You. And again, this is a book that has in the back this exercise that Bill has described tonight about storytelling and how you and someone close to you could share with each other and cultivate those gifts, those abilities. We've contrasted talentedness and giftedness. Bill, I want to talk. We've talked primarily about the giftedness of the leader. Yep. What about the giftedness of the person being led? Help us wrap our arms around that.
Yeah, well, everybody who follows also has a giftedness, and the leader's got to keep that in mind as they engage with these people. And typically what you'll find is that often there'll be the gifts will be complementary, or they will overlap, if you will. So let's take, for example, a visionary leader who's got great ideas. They need to be matched up with somebody who's great at strategy and execution, has a bias for action. Those are very complementary gifts. Now, they may be very different gifts in that this person who's got a bias for action, they're a planner, and they need the steps laid out, and a visionary, that feels like putting a straitjacket on.
Yes.
And so what you then discover is that just as gifts need to complement, they also can conflict. And I believe that most of the conflicts that people get into, they actually start at that motivational level, that people literally are seeing the world from two different points of view by virtue of their gifts.
You've talked about motivation, ability, and also the factor of enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah.
I remember something Truett Cathy said years ago. We had him speaking at a conference at Southeastern when I was there, and he said, if you find a job you really enjoy, you'll never work a day in your life.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. A lot of truth in that. And he was a man that worked around the clock. In fact, one of the reasons I heard this story from his son, Dan Cathy, on our Life Perspectives program, he said the reason they started Chick-fil-A with taking Sunday off was because his dad just couldn't keep going 7 days a week. And he said, we need to take the Lord's Day off, and otherwise I'm not going to survive.
Well, that was a good move. It's a biblical thing to do.
Yes.
For that reason. You know, my dad was a great example of somebody who loved his job. You may have heard him. He said it so often.
Yeah.
You know, I love to teach. I live to teach. Why I'd pay whether or not they
I'd pay them.
I'd pay them to let me teach.
Yeah.
You know, and then he said, don't tell the seminary that.
Yeah, I remember. Don't tell Dr. Walver that for sure.
But sadly, according to the Gallup polls on employee engagement, roughly 2/3 of the workers in our culture are not engaged with their work, which means their heart's not in it.
Yeah.
And I know that a big reason for that has to be that many of them are doing jobs that really don't fit them. They don't fit their giftedness.
And that's such an important thing. And maybe you have a question about fitting your giftedness, spiritual abilities, natural abilities. Give us a call at 855-586-5433. Linda is on the line listening in Texas tonight. Go ahead, Linda.
I had actually called in right before you started talking about this subject, and that was my question. I have gifts that God has given me, such as like music. Also, like I feel like I have lost a child, and I feel like a real calling to help other grieving parents, especially grieving moms, walk through that process as I lost a child over 16 years ago, but I still deal with grief periodically over that. And I have also been called, I feel like, when I rededicated my life to the Lord, because I've had health challenges throughout my life, and God has healed me in many, many ways. But on March 3rd of 2020, I rededicated my life to the Lord, and 30 days later, he sent me two opportunities to start or help with different ministries. And one of them is a mission in India. And so I feel kind of, and also as a child, I had learned American Sign Language. And that is a huge open field because only 2-3% of the deaf and hard of hearing population actually know about the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's a huge open mission field. And so I feel like pulled in all these directions. How do I know where to start or what to do first? Or like, if you could give me some direction on knowing, you know, what order do I go in?
Glad you called about this, Linda. I can't help thinking, Bill, that there are probably a number of people who have gifts in multiple areas who are saying, how do I prioritize those?
Yeah. Well, let me answer that question in just a moment, Linda. First, let me just go back to the child you mentioned that you had lost and say that I'm sorry about that loss. You mentioned grief. My point of connection with you on that is I lost my first wife in 2000. So I now have about 24 years of, I like to say I have a 24-year PhD in grief and loss. And and that grief is actually very common and not something to just try to get over or get past. It's every one of those little grief cycles that you experience is God's way of reminding you of how much that person meant in your life. And you can actually redeem some of that grief, even though it hurts, it still hurts, by thanking the Lord for the privilege of having that person that you love so much in your life.
Linda, let me ask you to stay on the line because we're coming up on a break and we want to talk further. I know Bill has a lot to share with you, and we'll get to that when we come back. If you have a question or comment, 855-586-LIFE.
Do you have an extra car taking up valuable space in your driveway? Let Encouragement Live take it off your hands. It's easy, free, and best of all, tax deductible. Get your driveway back and keep Encouragement Live rolling so more people can bridge the gap between their faith and everyday life. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
We're back on Encouragement Live, and as we went to the break, we were talking with Linda, who is listening in Texas. Linda, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'm so glad you are called in tonight, and Bill Hendricks is going to share with you about the issues that you were talking about related to giftedness and the multiplicity of gifts. And again, Bill, it's probably not uncommon for God to gift people with multiple gifts, multiple passions.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, most people have many more gifts than they really realize, which argues for the idea that if you could get a hold of that storytelling exercise, Linda, and I mentioned the book, and then find a partner and go through that exercise with them just to put more definition to what all those gifts are, just in the little bit of storytelling you just told me. It's clear to me that you love to help people. You love to meet needs. And that may sound really simple to be called a gift, but that actually is a gift. And likewise, on top of that, you're drawn toward people of different cultures. You mentioned India. You mentioned, and of course, the whole deaf community. And so that's a special thing right there as well. So armed with, you know, whatever understanding you have of your gifts, I mean, the first thing, obviously, is to pray, and it sounds like you've been doing that. Mm-hmm. And from there, I'd start to look at, well, what doors of opportunity have opened? Not just ideas about what I might like to do, but take some practical steps to make inquiries and talk with people. Where can I maybe find out more about this or get started in this? And just see what doors begin to open. And whatever doors do open, trust that, okay, God must be answering my prayer here. And I take steps forward, and one after another, it will lead into some things that God has for you.
I hope that's of help to you, Linda. And Bill, would you lead us in prayer for Linda? Just ask God for wisdom for her.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for my sister Linda. Thank you that she called in tonight. It's good to meet her. And first of all, Lord, I share in her pain and loss of a child. And Lord, even now, bring comfort and bring healing to her soul. And Lord, thank you for the love that she has had for this child. And we don't understand, but we trust your providence in having taken that child into your arms. And give her strength and wisdom now as she tries to find a direction for her life. And thank you that she has such a heart for people and their needs, and particularly for the deaf community. And so, Lord, guide her to people who know about some of the areas that she's interested in, who can open up doors of opportunity and paths of fruitfulness for her. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. Good to hear from you.
Thank you all so much. That really helps.
You're welcome.
And I will do that.
Great.
You're welcome.
855-586-5433. Bill, as we talk about leadership, for Christians in leadership,
yeah,
what do you think are some of the biggest challenges they face?
Boy.
That might be a whole program in itself, too.
Yeah, well, I'll just mention a few. One that immediately jumps to my mind because we talk about it all the time at the Hendricks Center at Dallas Seminary is paying attention to the context in which they're leading, which includes the realities of the people they're leading, and especially if they're in the marketplace, okay, they have a company, a business, and they're employing the general public. They need to realize that many of the people that they're leading come from such different worldviews and value systems.
Hmm.
And so they're now being an ambassador for Christ really means James 1:19, first and foremost, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Yeah.
Many of the worldviews and values and opinions that they bring, you may vehemently disagree with. But James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
And sometimes we get that totally reversed.
Absolutely.
Quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to wrath.
That's absolutely the case. We've got so polarized that we don't first seek understanding.
We've done a lot of work in the area of Christian life coaching, a Master Life Coach Training Institute, and it's interesting. There are two major skills that undergird the whole process of life coaching, and particularly for Christians, and Jesus practiced both of them. One of them was listening. Mm-hmm. He was probably the greatest listener ever of all time. And then asking astute questions, cultivating questions.
That's good.
And many times asking those questions helps to bring that along. And it seems like those are skills that every leader should cultivate, whether they're training in life coaching or whether they're just working through life.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus is our model. And so how he led is how we need to lead, which brings us to one other significant problem that a lot of Christian leaders have today, which is not paying enough attention to their own soul. You mentioned the need to have a Sabbath through Kathy's story.
Yes.
It's wonderful to work hard, and particularly if you love your job, that's a great blessing. And yet, your soul matters as much as anything else, and you lead out of your soul. And again, the model of Jesus, nobody was more active and effective than Jesus. But then he has these times when we can't find him. Why not?
Yeah.
He's gone off. He's in solitude. He's resting. He's communing with his Father. And leaders need to get this rhythm. It's like the tides. The tide goes in, the tide goes out. And there's engagement, and there needs to be effective engagement and hard work. And then there's retreat. There's step back and let God wash out your soul. Rest your soul, fill him your soul with himself.
I think about what Jesus said to his disciples when they'd been out on ministry. They were coming and going, didn't have time to eat. He said, come apart and rest up a while. And someone added to that, if you don't come apart, you'll
come apart. There you go.
Bill Hendricks, this has been such great and encouraging material tonight. I so appreciate having you with us, my brother.
Well, it's been my privilege, Don. I always love being with you and your audience.
Well, we appreciate it. And friend, we thank you for joining us, and we trust that you'll check out Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can actually go to the Hendricks Center off the dts.edu website and learn more about the seminary there as well. We trust that you'll make it a point to join us each weeknight or each weekend at this time, 7:05 Central Time on Saturday evenings, 8:05 Eastern Time. And for every one of us who's been a part of this, I'm Don Hawkins. Thank you for joining us, and we trust that you'll be a part of this next time on Encouragement Live.